Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Fantasy Sports Today, Friday edition. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm Mike. This is Dane. Blah, blah, blah. What the hell was that last night?
A lot of penalties. A lot of penalties, Mike.
What the hell was that? My first game of the year. I'm excited. 26 penalties.
And you have to wait 45 minutes for it, too.
The Falcons end their season, can't do anything in the red zone. Hey, let's open it back up. Same deal. And let's close out the game for good measure with the exact same scenario. Anyway, I'm sort of excited for football. Throwing buckets of cold water on my excitement last night. It's Mike and Dane on FST. Hit us up on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett, and Dane is at Spittin' Speeds. If you want to give us a call, we can do that a little bit later. But we opened up the season last night. I was excited about it. I was excited to get things going. But it's clear that officiating is going to be a major factor in this season again. The helmet calls didn't really come into play. I did hear you mention in the previous hour that I think there was a one or two situations where guys pulled up. Julio could have gotten lit up by McLeod, the safety. He pulled up. So I think we're seeing at least a slight change to people's play. But the penalties were brutal. Falcons, most penalties in over 20 years. They went 15 for 135. The Eagles, 11 for 101. I mean, it's amazing to be 11 for 101, and you're not even close to how bad the other team was with the penalties. The red zone issues, I think, are the major story of this game. It's sad that that is the case, but it is. In the first set of downs that they had down near the goal line where they went on fourth down, Julio wasn't even on the field. Rodney Harrison and others suggested that he may have been gassed. Entirely possible. Hot, humid, a night down there. Guys were cramping up. You saw Deion Jones have to come out with that. But the reality is, Julio obviously has a monster game, 19 targets. He catches double-digit passes, 169 yards. The big one, though, Dane, is the one that you and I talked about just before he got on air, a seemingly 50-yard catch and 50-yard pass play that the officials ruled that while he bobbled it and secured it as he went to the ground, it wasn't in time before he went out of bounds.
Yeah, and my understanding, I mean, listen, we've been talking about what is a catch in the NFL for the better part of 2 or 3 years, right? Since Megatron in the end zone in Chicago, Dez Bryant, there's others. We interviewed, Mike, remember, we interviewed Sterling Shepard on the draft. He had a big one in Philly last year. Also, like, went all the way almost into the tunnel and then dropped the ball. But I got to tell you something. I think Julio caught that ball. He pinned it to me against his shoulder. And last I checked, like, one shoulder equals 2 feet. I think he was sliding in bounds while he made that catch, and that was a huge play of the game, Mike, because they don't get that, I think, like 52, 53 yard play, which definitely would have flipped the field, right? They wind up punting, and then on the following drive, that's when Philly, runs the Philly special or whatever it was called, right? And to be quite honest, here's the other thing, and I know people, especially in the fantasy community, think about the analytics and all that stuff. I gotta tell you, Blewett, that crowd was dead. All right, in that stadium. That crowd was dead. Nick Foles was not moving the offense. The Boo Birds were even out a little bit in the first half. And then all of a sudden, that kind of play, they get the fans get all nostalgic about the championship. And that is where that's the drive that resulted in, I think, their only touchdown of the game. That was a huge flip of the field, flip of momentum. I think Julio caught that ball, but you're absolutely right. Mike, the biggest number out of this game, besides the penalties to me, is 19. And that's how many targets Julio Jones had. If he's going to be force-fed like this, there's no reason he can't be the number one wide receiver in all of fantasy.
I mean, I did think going into last night that he was going to have a huge game.
You did say that, Mike.
Here he's going to take people's lunch, and I, if he has that touchdown at the end of the game or earlier in the game, it ends up being a huge day. I mean, as it is, if you're in a full point PPR league, he netted you nearly
26.9 points.
So. Yeah. Could have been a 30-point game, which are exceedingly rare. It's tough for guys to get 30-point games as much as we think about big numbers in fantasy. 20 is really a key number for a big game. 30 is, it's getting into an elite game kind of territory.
Sure.
So Jay Ajayi does score two touchdowns last night for Philly, 15 of 62. I think they used him conservatively at times. People were complaining, like, where's Ajayi? I haven't seen him. Why is Sproles and Clement getting these carries? I mean, Sproles carried the ball five times for 10 yards. It's normally not the Darren Sproles way. He carried more than he caught last night. But his nine touches, I think, is probably an encouraging sign for those of you that drafted Darren Sproles late. But Ajayi, I think this is what you can expect from him for the year. I think if they hit him up with 15 touches every game, that's about where they'd want to be, but I'd say that's probably the high-end limit for where he's going to be each and every game. I think they want him to be right in that wheelhouse, 14 to 16 touches, and spreading it out to the other guys. He wasn't crazy efficient, but he scores an 11-yard touchdown, and that ended up being a huge play in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I am actually slightly more encouraged on Jay Ajayi than what you're saying right now, Mike. I think, listen, the 15 carries he got, I think he looked decent, running violent, that sort of thing. But I think game flow is going to dictate it a little bit. You know, I think there are going to be some games, especially when Carson Wentz comes back, where the Eagles are kind of grinding it out more in the second half, playing a little ball control. I could see Jay Ajayi getting some games with 18, 20 carries as well. But he did look encouraging, especially, as he kind of, maybe gets back into health. You know, he is coming off that foot injury. So I like Jay Ajayi. I think he's definitely an RB2 that you can start with confidence moving forward. But what I tell you yesterday, Mikey, I told you Darren Sproles is going to be off the radar. He was getting touches. He was getting red zone carries, Mike, in between the tackles. It looks like Doug Peterson is very comfortable with Darren Sproles on the field in any down and distance, in any situation, and I think it's very encouraging. You mentioned that he had five carries. He did also catches for 22 yards. I think Darren Sproles is viable in PPR formats.
Yeah, I didn't mean to sound discouraged by Ajayi's performance. I actually thought it was pretty good. If he's knocking out 63 yards a game, he had 62 last night, but if he ups it by a half a yard, that's 1,000 yards on the season. So I just think they're going to want to manage him for a playoff run too, which they can do because of what you're saying about Sproles. And we didn't even mention Corey Clement last night, which he was 5 of 26. He had a 21-yard run. Beyond that, not too much. We had Nelson Agholor in our lineup, so he rushed one ball for 18 yards. I'll take it. He threw one pass for 15 yards. I'll take it. And then he had eight catches for 33 yards. I'll take it. Not a crazy night, but those are the types of things I would expect out of Agholor getting into double-digit points each and every week. So it's 11. I think he had ended up for us like a 14-point game after we changed the scoring, which in one of our leagues produced in the league that Dan and I are in because of a error with a decimal point. Matt Ryan had a 100-point game last night. So clearly we need to get that fixed moving forward. But last thing on this game, I thought – well, not the last thing, but Matt Ryan was not sharp last night. I've seen this guy. I've said it before. I went to Boston College. I was a season ticket holder while Matt Ryan was quarterback there. I've seen virtually every snap that this guy has taken in college and pro. He was not sharp last night. He was really amped up. He was overthrowing some balls. He made some really nice throws, too. But he was overthrowing it a little bit. I think Philly's rush did a pretty good job, especially later in the game, collapsing the pocket on him. Atlanta's got a good offensive line, but I think Philly, which I thought it was a good battle, frankly. I thought Atlanta held them at bay at times, but late in the game, Matt Ryan had some throws where he was under pressure and he had to make it. He had to throw a couple away, really, in that last possession in order to just survive another down. So I thought he played okay. I didn't think Foles played well. But he played well enough to win, and that's been the Nick
Foles playbook for the last year, you know, 8 months or so, playoffs and tonight, last night included. Last guys there, Tevin Coleman has a 26-yard run. He also, he had a 26-yard catch. He had 9 carries for 19 yards, but he scores the touchdown. So if you had Coleman in your flex, you got a little bit of something out of him. 2, 5, 6, you know, you got double-digit points out of him. So Devontae Freeman, though, a little banged up. It says after the game that nobody is worried about it, that he should be fine, but you didn't get much out of Devontae Freeman at all last night.
No, Devontae Freeman, only 6 carries, 36 yards. He did have 3 catches for 14 yards as well. But I think you're right. You know, a lot of people, Mike, were worried about Devontae Freeman going into the season because of the concussions, right, and the head injuries. But now you got this knee potentially on top of it. They're saying he's okay, but it just reinforces for me that Tevin Coleman is one of the best RB2s in the National Football League to have, maybe him and along with guys like Deion Lewis, let's say, right, or whoever the Patriots guy is. But I think you know, Tevin Coleman is going to be someone you really need, you know, moving forward. What I'll say about Matt Ryan, you know, Mike, real quick, is he did make some really good throws. I'm reminded of kind of like the deep out to Julio, where he throws it before Julio even makes a cut and knows that he's got to change the trajectory on it because he has to get the ball out early, to your point, because of the Philly pass rush in the second down.
Chris Long crushed him.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great throw. You know, and you got to see I guess the all 22 kind of camera angle when they showed on the replay. He throws it before Julio even makes his break, and to know kind of that you gotta, you know, lollipop it a little bit more. There was another good lob throw on a screen pass to Tevin Coleman, a kind of throwback screen that they had where, you know, Jason Peters as or the left tackle, whoever it was, you know, kind
Jake
of like
Matthews.
Right, you know, is rushing so upfield that he's got to kind of lob it to get it over the rushing defensive end. I thought that was great. And then, to be quite honest, the pick he throws in the red zone,
not
which,
his fault.
You know, it was kind of the same kind of throw. You know, you got to make that throw early with the pressure in your face. He underthrows that one a little bit, and I think it was McLeod Rasul Jenkins maybe, who comes in and makes the pick. You know, so, yeah, he was hot and cold, but Matt
and
Ryan
Julio
made it.
They show the video. Julio tapped his chest, said that was my fault. He did not really complete his route. I think Julio misread something. Ryan knew he had to throw the ball to that spot, and Julio didn't run to it.
They had the one-on-one coverage they want with the guy who was coming in for, I believe, Darby, who had a great game, by the way. Ronald Darby had a really good game on Julio. I mean, you look at the Julio stat line, but, you know, Darby was sticking with him, making some tough plays. And there were a couple, you know, at halftime, Rodney Harrison and them were saying, oh, he's not looking at Julio. I beg to differ. Not in that first drive when he wasn't on the field, but there were a couple of times – Mike, in the red zone, where Matt Ryan's first read was Julio Jones. And you see him look that way and cock it back, but then hold it because there was like double coverage or zone rolling over. There were a couple of plays where Julio was definitely the first read, but he didn't want to force it in.
Couple things on the announcers. Al Michaels is one of the best ever, so I don't need to talk about that as much. But I thought Chris Collinsworth did a really good job last night. They're infusing analytics into it more than ever, which
he owns
can appreciate.
You know, he runs
PFF. Of course. But I do appreciate that they are doing it. Conversely, Roddy Harrison, he has a point about Julio in the red zone early, but maybe he was a little bit gassed. They are double covering him every time. And if Ryan throws it to double coverage and gets picked off, people are going to crush him for it.
Exactly.
So he got 19 targets. I think they understand that they need to get him the ball. What I am frustrated about is the play calling down in the red zone. That is my frustration. So I get it, but And Ronnie Harrison has a point, and I thought that first set of 4 downs was brutal, but at the end of the game, when he had 19 targets, I can't really complain too much about how their usage rate of Julio Jones. So if you want to hit us up today, again, on Twitter, it's at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spit and Speeds. We'll open the phone lines in the next segment, 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. For those of you listening on TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thank you very much. We appreciate you listening. And BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast payment of winning. Can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. So use promo code FNTSY. BetDSI is offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. So just use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. So that's it for the game last night. Le'Veon Bell, a little clarification last night, what we were talking about yesterday, and in the heat of the moment, sometimes on the show you make mistakes, and I like to own up to
those mistakes.
It's
live radio, Mike. It's all right. It's live radio.
So a couple of things. You asked me if they can rescind the tag. They obviously can do that, and it has happened before. Just recently, it was Josh Norman that had the
With the Panthers.
Tag rescinded, and he immediately signed with Washington. So they can rescind the tag and send Bell into free agency, but they're not planning that. So that gives Bell what he wants. They keep control by maintaining the tag. They want that compensatory pick in 2019. Like, if they just rescind the tag, he's a free agent, they get nothing for it. Since they have the tag, they will get a compensatory pick, possibly a third-round pick, if they hang on to the tag with him. Now, there's talks of the trade. It would be, and this is all according to, he did a really nice job of summing it up, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN staff writer, covers the Steelers as well. So, can the Steelers just trade him? He says it's a clumsy process, but not something the Steelers want to do unless forced. Several league sources say a trade for Bell wouldn't work for two primary reasons: his volatile position and the challenge of the franchise tag. A team couldn't negotiate a new deal with him now, so they're effectively paying for Le'Veon Bell for 1 year rental. And then they'd have to re-up him after the season. And who knows? He's going for the most money. I think that's pretty obvious, and I don't blame him. And a lot can happen to his overall value during that bottom line. It's one thing I've talked about in support of Le'Veon Bell. I'm frustrated with this, obviously. But the irony of this is that if he comes in there and signs the tag for the $14.5 million, they're going to give him the ball 400 times again. Then he's a 27-year-old running back coming off two seasons in which he had 800 carries, and nobody's going to give him a lot of money. He'll get a high guarantee for 1 year, maybe two, but he's not going to get – nobody's going to plunk $45 million guaranteed in front of him. It's not happening.
I don't know, Mike. All it takes is one. All it takes is one. We never thought Nnamdi Asamoah was going to get the contract he got, you know. All it takes is one team to really see him as that complete final piece. You know, sometimes with these contracts, people start outbidding themselves.
Entirely true. I read an opinion piece by Maurice Jones-Drew on NFL.com. He was in a very similar position in the 2012 season, and he wasn't on a franchise tag, but he held out till late into the preseason and then ultimately signed and came back in. He ended up hurt, and he didn't get all the money he wanted. He ended up getting a Liz Frank injury that season, and he never returned to full health and never got his money. So he's telling Bell to hold out until after the Week 10 games. November 13th is the deadline. It's starting to look more and more like that's the date that Le'Veon Bell is looking at. So we'll come back with the next segment on FST. It's Mike and Dane, and it's football season. We'll be back right after this. Ain't nobody.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Back on FST. Excited that football season is here. I'd like it to have less penalties. Just a request. Dane, you can help me out with that?
I can try, but the only problem is then the NFL would have to lose that facade of caring about player safety.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
And here's the thing. Wait a second, Mike. Why If they care so much, you know, they care so much about evacuating and not letting the players play in a lightning storm, right? That's player safety. Like, why is the NFL, like, trying to front like they care about player safety? That's my big question here. You know, like, oh, we got to evacuate the lower bowl for 45 minutes. I was trying to get my season kicked off, Mike.
That was some rain that we had here in New York. It was unbelievable. Philly had a similar storm, so I understand why it was delayed for those of you planning on beautiful weather in the West Coast. But in any event, Fantasy Factor's free entry $1 million NFL Survivor Contest is now open. So sign up today and play for a chance at $1 million. Go to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. We'll do our Survivor picks at the end of the show. Last segment. I'll be sure we get that in because I know Dane is going to tabulate this weekly contest.
Sure am.
And see how much better I am than him and Scott at doing this.
Yep, but you'll need three against the spread.
I probably should have dived into it a little bit more to see who I like the most, but I'll wing it.
Well, you got a segment to figure it out.
Exactly.
You want me to give you? I'll give you mine first, so you even know like what the right answers are if you want.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. I'll see. I'll just go the opposite. I'll just go the other way on all three. Go at least go 2-1. What are they?
Sure. I can give you my three right now. You're not going against these because what I'm doing. Listen, on week one, sometimes for me, it's about attacking what I think is going to be bad, as opposed to even what I think is going to be good. And that's what I did with a couple of my picks. You know, I like the Tennessee Titans to go into Miami and win that game. Mike, I know you like the Titans as well. I know we both think the Dolphins are going to be pretty bad. And so to me, generally I don't like betting a road team, especially in the opener. But the 2 points is really not a big deal to me. So give me Tennessee -2 against the Dolphins. I also think that the Raiders are going to be something of a dumpster fire. You know, you have them as under in your over-under competition. The 4 points that it is right now for me does not matter. I think this Rams offense is primed and ready to go. Aaron Donald there on defense. Give me the Rams on Monday Night Football. I'll lay the 4.5. And another team, Mike, that has impressed me this preseason, you and I have both talked about it. I am attacking them in DFS in my GPP as well. People think I'm crazy, Blewett, but I'm going with an Andy Dalton and Tyler Eifert stack in DFS this week. I think John Ross is an interesting tournament play behind that Indianapolis Colts defense. I think that the Bengals could be a surprise team. I think they could win outright, but I saw them at +3, I believe. Maybe it's down to 2.5 now, but give me the Bengals as well. So I'm taking Tennessee -2 on the road. I'm taking the Rams -4.5 on the road. I can't believe I'm taking these road teams in week one, but I am. And give me the points with the Cincinnati Bengals. Those are my three.
Okay, cool. So I'll do mine in the next segment, but that gives everybody a sense of what yours are. I'll follow that up by giving you the rest of my playoff picture. I did it last night while I was watching the game. So I told you the teams yesterday in the AFC. New England, I'll do them in order. New England 1 seed, Chargers 2 seed, Tennessee 3 seed, Pittsburgh 4 seed. So there's my divisional winners.
Okay.
Jacksonville is the top wild card, and then I went with, honestly, between the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Texans, and the Ravens. I think it could be any one of those. And by the way, those nine teams are the only ones that can make the playoffs. If any of the other seven teams in the AFC make the playoffs, that includes Denver and the Browns and the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins, I will be stunned that any of those would make the playoffs. But there's usually one. Anyway, I picked KC to mix it up a little bit for this competition. I didn't want to have the exact same thing as Dane. Anyway, KC will be the 6th seed. Their defense is terrible. It really is.
It really is.
It's going to be bad. That's why I can't believe you talked me into that. But whatever, I'm sticking with it.
I didn't talk you. If you want to take Cincy and be exactly the same as me, go right ahead.
No, let's have a little bit of fun with it. But
take Cleveland.
No, I'm taking Denver. They're terrible too. Case Keenum, great. That's going to happen again. Anyway, so there's my top six, and then I have the Chargers facing off against the Titans. No, Tennessee beating KC, Jacksonville beating Pittsburgh again. Sadly, and then I have the Chargers versus Tennessee. I'll take the Titans there. I'll take the Pats over the Jaguars. And I have to be different. I do think if you're wagering, New England's a smart money. I'm going to have the Titans going to the Super Bowl. So
Woo!
I'm going to have the Titans
like
going to the Super Bowl there. So on the flip side, NFC, one seed Rams, two seed Falcons, despite last – I mean, that could actually impact their seeding last night that they lost that game. But I had the Falcons as a two seed, Minnesota, three seed, Philly, four seed, New Orleans, five seed, Green Bay, six seed. So I have Minnesota hosting Green Bay. They win that. I have Atlanta hosting New Orleans. They win that. I do think, by the way, that there's absolutely a universe that the Saints could go to the Super Bowl. So I don't want you to think that I'm down on them. I just, the way I mapped it out, they have to play Atlanta in Atlanta, and I think Atlanta wins that game. So then going through it, I have Atlanta and the Rams winning their next round of playoff games, which would be Atlanta beating Minnesota, the Rams beating Philly. And then I'm going to have the Falcons, hopefully they get their red zone stuff together. I'm going to have the Falcons facing off the Titans in the Super Bowl. So it is different. I didn't go chalk. I wanted to do something a little bit different. But it also says what I think about those two teams. I understand the gauntlet that they would have to go through and win games on the road. That would be difficult. But I felt like Atlanta and New Orleans, frankly, last year were both just really close. I mean, they were really close to doing it. Atlanta was inches away from beating Philly. New Orleans was even closer than that from beating Minnesota. And they could have faced off against one another last year. But in any event, it is what it is. So here we are. Atlanta.
And then let me ask you,
Tennessee.
You got a Titans, you got a Titans Falcons Super Bowl. We made our picks yesterday also. The King, Scott Engel, is taking the Houston Texans to win the Super Bowl at plus 2,000. I am taking the Los Angeles Chargers as my Super Bowl champion. I have a Chargers-Packers Super Bowl. Scott has a Texans-Vikings Super Bowl. You over at my bookie, you could also get the exact matchup. So Packers-Chargers is plus 6,000 for that exact matchup. Texans-Vikings is also plus 6,000 for that exact matchup. I got to find it, Mike, but I think your matchup might be even a little bit higher than plus 6,000, I got to tell you, because of that Tennessee Titans-Atlanta. But then who do you have, bathing in confetti in Super Bowl 53.
I'll do the homer pick. I'll take Matty Ice to right his wrong from a couple of years ago. Mariota Ryan would be a pretty good quarterback matchup in the Super Bowl. I do think they both have good offensive lines. I like the speed of Atlanta's defense, which I thought was on display some last night.
Yeah,
I think they
really
will
was.
Be able to. I like them
covering
as a early
both those coverage linebackers.
Yeah, I think if you get up in Atlanta's face. And Rodney Harrison said it before the game last night. If you have those big offensive linemen going downhill in Deion Jones's face, he will struggle. But when Atlanta is playing fast and loose, I do think, and I did target them a little bit during the preseason, during drafts, I think they're a defense built with speed, and they will create a lot of turnovers, which is generally the type of defense that you want to have for your seasonal leagues. So something to think about. I can tell you that a bet was placed at William Hill Sportsbook on the Titans $4,000 at 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. So that is a big number. You know, I wouldn't have put $4,000 on it, but you know, I would consider something like that. So the number of teams that have better odds to win the Super Bowl than the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles is 10.
Wow.
The Eagles are 14-1, and the Pats are favorite at 6-1. This is before last night's game, so that's pretty interesting. I can tell you just a couple other news and notes on sports betting items. Only 43% of the bets at FanDuel are on the Jets, but 84% of the money is on New York. So
that means the sharps. That means the sharps, the people making big bets, are betting on the Jets.
That's right. Including Bucks Saints is -9.5, a total of 49.5. Including spread bets and parlays, there are five times more bets on the Saints than the Bucks at Caesars Sportsbooks in Nevada, the most lopsided ticket count of any Week 1 game.
This is that 80-20 rule, though. You know, when 80% of the public is on a team, I like usually to fade it. That's a big number. I see it at 10 at some places also, Mike. Like, you know, I think the Saints win the game, but is 10 too big of a number?
On the road, yeah. That's a
lot. No, the Saints are at home. That's in the Dome.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's in the dome. They're minus 10 at home. I know there's no Jameis. I know Ronald Jones has defecated the mattress all preseason. But, you know, I generally stay away from double-digit numbers, Mike. I think 10, if I don't, you might be seeing it at 9.5. I'm seeing it at 10. I think that's a little bit too much to lay. I was even concerned. You know, the Ravens are minus 8, I believe. That's a big line. Anytime it gets over 7 for me, it's tough. I do think the Ravens can just completely shut down Buffalo. I could see that being a 20-6 kind of game very easily. And I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek. The Ravens may, in fact, be my survivor pick this week. But down there in New Orleans, that 10, I think that's a little too rich for my blood.
I think the Saints are going to be my survivor pick. I try not to mess around with it. I just get on with
it. Yeah, I'm like saving the Saints, and I'm getting cute with it. I'm trying to save the Saints because all things considered, I like a non-divisional game.
I get it. I just think Fitz on the road. I think New Orleans is going to want to get back to business because of the way the season ended. So could there be a hangover from them from last year? Yeah, but I do think Saints are one of the best teams in the entire league. And I think Tampa – I really do think Tampa is one of the three worst teams in the league. I think it will end up that way. Is their roster as bad as some other teams? No. I just think it's just going south for them. And it's a narrative that you and I have talked about many times. I try to try not to talk myself completely into a narrative, but I've done it with the Titans. I've done it with the Bucks, and here we are. So I think the Saints are going to be my survivor pick.
All right, I got you down as the Saints for your survivor pick. Are you laying, though? Would you lay 10 points, though? I mean, the survivor I got. I got you. The Saints to win outright, no doubt. Yeah. I'm with you, right? But would you lay 10, or could you see that? I could see backdoor covers here happening with Fitzy in garbage time, you know, hitting up our guy Chris Godwin and some kind of backdoor cover. I could see this easily, you know, turning into something like a 28-20 thing at the very end.
I can see that, too. It is a lot of points to lay down in week one. Week one can be really volatile, obviously, so putting a whole bunch of points out there would be tough. In fact, I would never have touched that game last night because of all the movement that went on the line. You and I talked about it yesterday.
Hey, I like Atlanta, but I would. It's not one of my three that I would have picked for the week.
Yeah, I liked Atlanta to win the game, too. But when all the public started putting all the money on Atlanta, I was like, I'm out. Right. You should probably go the other way. But
yeah, the line moves 5 points.
Yeah, when I'm conflicted like that and all the public money is one way and I feel a certain way, it's best to just sit on the sidelines for the game, which I did last night. So let's do a little bit of DFS. We can always talk lines and other stuff as I pick my games in the next segment. But DFS. So QB position, you know, I'm looking at some Daily Roto notes, and please go to dailyroto.com to get all of your great DFS information. I'll tell you a little bit about the sports wagering tool in the next segment. But for now, top plays at quarterback Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, a very high implied total there in New England at 50 and a half currently. So those are the top guys really in that top tier. You drop down to a few other QBs. Phil Rivers, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger. On DraftKings, Drew Brees has a stronger chance at a 300-yard passing game, so he may be in that elite tier. But as always with quarterbacks, there's less volatility between – it's a slimmer – and by the way, there's a new tool on Daily Roto called Range of Outcomes Projection. And the range of outcomes is much greater between running backs and wide receivers. As you see, Julio has a big game last night. His counterparts do virtually nothing. Whereas quarterbacks, you're going to have a whole bunch of guys that have pretty good games at varying price levels. So you don't necessarily have to pay up at QB. And Phil Rivers is a pretty attractive price. He's really cheap, $7,500 on FanDuel, $6,400 on DraftKings.
Yep. He is my cash game quarterback this week. Phillip Rivers, I gave it out on Fantasy Freestyle last night. We've been saying for weeks, Mike, that we attack in this Kansas City Chiefs pass defense. We think that Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs are pretty much going to be an Arena Football League team, not only because of the Andy Reid scheme and Patty Mahomes, but because of that back end of that defense as well. I love Phillip Rivers. He is my cash game quarterback, and I'm stacking him with Keenan Allen for sure. I think Keenan Allen gets off against this secondary. Give me Phillip Rivers at $7,500 on FanDuel. He's going as the 8th most expensive quarterback in a plus matchup. Rivers continuing to be disrespected, in my opinion. But on the tournament side, though, a little bit off the radar, I told you, I like Andy Dalton. And on FanDuel, he's only 6,800. You could save some money. I like that offensive line this this preseason. And I can attack Indianapolis. That Colts secondary is no good. So if you want to go somewhere cheap, give me Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I kind of like that too. Cam Newton is going to have always a very wide range of outcomes. Right now, they are favored by 42.5-point spread. So Cam Newton is always a type of guy where people may not want to spend up for him, which means a lower ownership total, and you might be able to use him in some tournaments. At the running back position, David Johnson has the highest projection on Daily Roto for this week amongst all of the flex players, wide receiver, tight end, and running back. So David Johnson right at the top of the list with Alvin Kamara there as well. Obviously, we talked about the Saints being a strong favorite over the Bucs.
Yeah, sure. Those kind of guys, David Johnson, Alvin Kamara, I think Zeke Elliott is primed to get a ton of touches as well. But remember, they set these lines early, okay? So on FanDuel, you can get James Conner for $5,000. He's got to be in your cash game chalk kind of lineups, okay? Peyton Barber at only $5,600, and we know he's going to be the lead back in Tampa. Jordan Wilkins, who we think is going to get the start for Indy at only $5,100. So if you want to get some value there, you probably can, and I think then that'll save you money so you can go get David Johnson. For me, the Zeke Elliott's. For me, Christian McCaffrey at 7,500. Alvin Kamara at 8,700. I think those are the high-end guys. But don't forget about guys like Connor, Barber, and Wilkins as well.
Yeah, and the one thing I'd say about Connor, for those of you out there being like, well, everybody's going to play James Connor. You know
what?
So what? Not everybody is going to. If he's 65-70% owned, which is an enormously high total, that means you may have an edge on 30% to 35% of the people playing in that cash game. So I've seen totals that are even higher. And a lot of people are going to be on Connor, but you know what? You're just looking for the expected value. You just want the return. You want 3X, 4X. And at $5,000, when a guy like that could see the ball 20 times, you got to put him in there. It just makes sense strategically, even if almost everybody else owns him. The guys that don't are taking a chance at being right at Connor having a bad game. And that's not a great strategy. We'll come back, talk more games after this on FST. It's week one.
Marcus Cato is a baseball-loving 20-year-old Californian. In May, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Marcus now needs a bone marrow transplant from an unrelated donor to survive. The National Bone Marrow Registry is made up of only 7% African Americans, which means Marcus, who is biracial, faces a unique challenge to find a match. Text INVOLVE to 50555 to join DKMS in the fight to help Marcus and others get a second chance at life.
We're back on FST. Thanks for joining us on this Football Friday. You already know the advantage you get using the DailyRoto.com optimizer and playing daily fantasy sports. Now you can use those same back-tested tools to give you an edge in sports betting. If you were a Daily Roto wagering subscriber last night, you would have made your subscription fee back before the main NFL season schedule even started, as the Daily Roto wagering optimizer posted a 5-star recommendation to play the under 44.5 in total points on Atlanta versus Philly. That was like my favorite bet last night, was the under. Go to dailyroto.com/betting, B-E-T-T-I-N-G, where you can use the wagering tools and projections from the computer masterminds that have won millions in daily fantasy sports. You'll get money line picks, picks against the spread, game totals, and the use of a player props tool that can now be turned loose to forecast spectacular game performances that you can now capitalize on without having to worry about salary caps. You'll also find picks from Gabe Morency, Cam Stewart, Mark Lawrence, Ted Savransky, and more. Go to dailyroto.com/betting. That's dailyroto.com/betting. If you're serious about winning money this NFL season, you can't afford not to check this out. So we do have a caller, a loyal listener, Kenny from Philly. Kenny, I know you're a Saints fan, but people in Philly obviously got a chance to celebrate last night.
Yes, they sure enough did. I actually want to talk about the Falcons, and then I just want to jump straight into the betting thing.
Yeah, go for it.
As far as the Falcons, they're their offense have always been, especially in the red zone, has always been predicated around the tight end. That's what they do. They throw the ball to the tight end in the end zone, or they do the zone blocking or a run team to try to get the ball out. I mean, they haven't been good in the red zone since Tony Gonzalez retired. I know this because I'm a Saints fan, so I can't stand the Falcons, of course. So, but as far as Julio's coach, I don't think it's more predicated on necessarily the offense, because the last regime had the same problems. I mean, they didn't get the ball to him in the end zone. I think the problem actually is Matt Ryan. I mean, we got to remember, a couple of years ago, before he got that new contract, they wanted to get rid of this guy. So, I mean, Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan, as far as I'm concerned with that. On to the betting, I did play some over-unders or whatever. I mean, my philosophy with that was looking at the division. So, I went over on the Chargers. I got them at 9.5. And the reason I did that was because of the whole Oakland Raiders thing. And I went under with the Raiders. They're at 8.5. So I figured that the Raiders would have problems, and San Diego would be able to capitalize on that. So I also, the odd pick I did choose was, I chose the Bengals to win the AFC North here.
Interesting.
I'm thinking that the Pittsburgh had that division in the locker room where the offensive linemen are now speaking out openly about Le'Veon Bell. And so if that brings the Pittsburgh Steelers even closer back to the pack, to the and with the Cleveland Browns being improved, of course, too, I'm thinking that the Bengals, who normally have a pretty good regular season, so, I mean, it's just with the playoffs where they slip up back. So I'm thinking that they could slip up and possibly win the division. I mean, I got that at 17-1, which is good odds as well. Also, this weekend on the games, considering there's going to be a lot of players didn't play during the preseason, bet the unders. Plain and simple. And one more thing.
You're right. Go ahead, Kenny. One more thing.
Yeah. Sam Darnold is going to be a target this weekend for your DFS. So Detroit Lions at home. No one's going to play them. So, I mean, everyone's going to be on the Baltimore Nate Peterman thing. So everybody's going to play Baltimore's defense. So just a sleeper defense for your DFS segment. But I know you guys got a lot of content to get out. So go ahead and I'll listen to you guys respond offline.
Good stuff.
For sure. Thanks a lot, Kenny. A couple of reactions to what you said. Listen, I like a lot of your over-under calls there. We've talked about the Chargers. I got the Chargers in the Super Bowl, okay, Kenny? So I'm riding with you on that. I also think that the Raiders are going to be a dumpster fire. I've said that a few times. You got them at 8.5, it sounds like. Blewett got them at under 8. I got them at under 9. But I like your rule of thumb there in thinking about the divisions, okay? And that, to be quite honest, Kenny and everybody else, is why I'm so big on the under for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because I see the other three teams in that NFC South as very competitive, Carolina and Atlanta, and of course New Orleans, where Kenny reps there. Okay, so I like what he's talking about. The idea of the Cincinnati Bengals is kind of interesting, Blewett, at 17-1 to win that division. You know, listen, you and I both have said that they have impressed us a little bit in the offseason, and then he's extrapolating out the demise of the Pittsburgh Steelers, where it kind of goes off the rails, whether it's kind of discord in the locker room around Le'Veon Bell or otherwise. And, you know, there is other ways that this could go off the rails. It's not like Big Ben is the picture of health and things like that. I don't want to start pouring on, Mike, because I know they are your team. But it's kind of interesting. Like, if it does go really bad in Pittsburgh, Cincinnati could be the exact right team to capitalize on that. We do think that we have been encouraged with them in the preseason, Mike.
Almost too much so. I get a little worried when people start talking about how good the Bengals are, both as a Steelers fan and both as a, if you're making a wager, it sounds like more and more people are on the Bengals bandwagon. I just think that number was too low. That's why I like the over.
Yeah.
I do have issues with the Bengals, and the offensive line was terrible last year. So, by the way, as an aside to this, the reason I could never pick the Texans, and they have the easiest schedule in the NFL, but the reason I could never pick them to be as successful as Scott is saying is, like, we looked at three teams very specifically last year that had struggles at offensive line and totally underperformed.
Yeah.
Seahawks, Giants, Bengals. If we're taking a look at teams this year that have miserable offensive lines and we don't think are going to be successful, we got Buffalo, we have Arizona, and we have Buffalo, Arizona, and we have Houston. Those three teams are going to have pretty bad offensive lines, and it's going to be hard for them to be consistently good. Now, Houston has way more talent than somebody like Buffalo has, and Cincinnati's probably, or rather, Arizona's probably somewhere in the middle, but I would really have a hard time picking the Texans to make the playoffs, let alone go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with you. Take that up with my man, the King, Scott Engel. I agree with you. And it even gives me cause for pause on the Minnesota Vikings. Now, listen, I think the Vikings of this year, the Texans of this year, are more talented than, say, the Giants of last year. You know, this idea, and they had a lot of injuries as well. But, yeah, I think people underestimate just how much an offensive line or a struggling offensive line can impact your, you know, your entire season. But, Mike, I know we only got a couple of minutes left. Are you just going to copy my picks? ATS, what are you going to do?
No, let's do it. I got to do three teams here, right?
Yeah, I need three. You can take any of my guys, any of my picks if you want. I'll just give you a little bit of, you know, I'll give you smack for it. That's all.
All right. All right. Three teams against the spread. Let's go with... who do I love here? I'm looking at the Saints. So, by the way, here's Bill Belichick. Cool stat. 71.8% Patriots coach Bill Belichick against the spread winning percentage as an underdog over the last 15 seasons, the best such mark of any current head coach with at least 3 years of experience. I understand they're not an underdog this week, but I just saw that status. I was going pouring through a whole bunch of stuff. Houston Texans record against the spread in second halves under Coach Bill O'Brien, something to keep in mind for this weekend, is the best mark of any current head coach, 38-22-4, second half spreads. So keep that in mind. Percentage of first halves that the Patriots coach Bill Belichick has covered the spread in during the last 15 seasons, 55.8%. So here's what I'll say. I'm talking about this game because I think now that it's under seven, I'll take the Pats.
All right. You think that, if it was seven or seven and a hook, you would take, you don't want to give a full touchdown, but at 6.5, you give it, right?
I don't really want to give 6.5, but I'm giving it. So I'll take the Pats. Home openers.
All right. So you got Brady, Pats Belichick. -6.5 home for the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Glad I didn't do the game last night. So it would, probably would have been wrong.
Yeah, I would have went Atlanta as well, but we didn't. And I guess if we want to make that one of our picks, our Survivor pick or our ATS picks, we just got to announce it on Thursday. That's all.
Got it.
Okay, so you got two more.
One of you guys picked the Bengals, right? Was that Scott?
I did.
You did.
You can if you want.
Some of these underdogs got to win.
Yeah.
There's got to be a road dog that's going to win somewhere.
Exactly. And one other thing that Kenny and Philly said, I like taking a bunch of unders this week. Not only, you know, like you mentioned, people get gassed early in the season. I think defense is just ahead of offense a lot of times early in the season.
Dungy said that last night, and he was right.
And these penalties are, crazy also, which interrupt the flow of the game for me. But so if you want, Mike, you can make one of your picks be a total. I'll allow that.
That is interesting.
I'll allow that.
I haven't done enough homework because I'm just going to stumble on air trying to do that. But I'll do it moving forward.
Actually,
I'll just do what you
they're
guys.
They're eligible.
Exactly.
Totals are eligible.
Starting now, totals are eligible. But sure. I'm not gonna play it now because I want to play it the same way you guys played. So
sure.
I will take a road. Oh man, road dog in the Rams. A road favorite in the Rams.
I'm on the road. I'm on two road favorites, Tennessee and the Rams. But go ahead. So you're on the Rams as well?
I'll just take the Rams.
You're given 4.5 on the road in the black hole. Got it.
Damn it. I did not want to give 4.5 points. That is no man's land.
I know.
That is no man's land.
I would love it at 2.5, but it's 4.5. But I'm taking
five,
it anyway.
You should just
they're going to crush it. I got them at winning like 27-10 or something like that. I think they win by more than a touchdown. I'm not worried about the point spread. I hear you not wanting to give that up on the road in an opener on national television, in fact. But, we both think the Raiders are horrible, and we both like the Rams. So I'm with you. But you need one more, Mike.
The other home dog?
I'm
looking at the other home dogs. Miami's a home dog.
Miami's a home dog. I picked against them. The Giants are a home dog.
I need a hook for the Giants. What is the spread on the Giants?
I think it's three. I think it's just three. It's an exact
three. 3.5.
I know. It was 3.5. It went down to three. It went
Give
down
me the
to
G-men.
Three. There it is. You're taking a plus three? Giants plus three against Jacksonville. I like that. I like that. And to that point, by the way, real quick, I know we only got like a minute left. We were talking about DFS wide receivers. Listen, yes. Keelan Cole and Dante Moncrief are both real cheap. You can get Keelan Cole at 4,500 on FanDuel.
If the Bucs stop a wide receiver this year, it'll be the first time in about 2 years. So Mike Thomas is all day in your lineups. Antonio Brown is obviously going to see a heavy workload. I don't care if it's Bell or Connor carrying the ball. I think you're looking at other guys, like you said, Keelan Cole, Chris Hogan, Jameson
I love
Crowder,
Hogan. Jarvis Landry. I like Landry at only 60. Yep, I have Hogan, I have Landry, I have Cole, I have Kenny Stills also in a lineup.
I was just about to say that guy. So Kenny Stills is a guy that you've been pounding the table about all season long. I think he could see a very high market share of targets, and that's the type of guy you want. Tight end, it's typical.
Oh, Tyler Eifert's healthy, baby.
Kelsey. That's right. When he's healthy and Jordan Reed's healthy, put him in there. Let's get it done.
That's right.
Happy Football Friday. Enjoy the games. You'll hear me for 5 hours every Sunday morning on Fantasy Sports Today. So listen to me all Sunday. I'll be there. Enjoy the weekend.
The person is diagnosed with a blood cancer like leukemia. Bone marrow transplants give patients a new lease on life, but 70% of them must rely on a stranger for one. You can help. Register with DKMS to become a donor. You'll receive a swab kit in the mail, swab your cheeks, send the samples back, and you're good to go. Take the first step. Become a hero. Register today at DKMS.org.